Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. And so the bottom line is, whatever we put in, we're going to get out. The biblical truth of sowing and reaping is a great truth and affects every one of us in this room. We are accountable to God. Romans 14:11-12, he says, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall give praise to God. Therefore, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. So the Bible tells us, you're going to stand before your Savior, Jesus Christ. So how we live now will affect rewards later. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about rewards. One day, each person will stand before Jesus Christ to be rewarded for the way that we have lived and what we've done, and our goal is to hear him say, well done. Sometimes there's confusion, because when people start talking about standing before Christ and all this, some people think salvation, but salvation is a gift. It's not based on what we do. It costs us absolutely nothing. It's by faith in Jesus Christ, and he gives us eternal life. So we're not talking about that. Christian life is different. We are going to give an account of how we live and what we do, how we use the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given us. And so that's and the key, and I think it's such an amazing thing, the key is faithfulness. And we'll be rewarded for our faithful service for Christ. So as we continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and of course we had that break. We studied a good bit, and then we had break for Christmas, and then we just got going back on it again. But the subject in this chapter, at least the first part of the chapter, he's talking about the problems with their divided, that they're not growing, they're fleshly, they've not matured at all. And he talked about their conflicts. And then in verse 10 through 15, he actually says, now let me tell you, how you're living and what you're doing now, there's going to be repercussions of that. Because one day you're going to stand before Jesus Christ, and he's going to judge how you lived. And he's not talking about salvation, remember, but he's talking about our service. And so as we continue in this, we're going to see that. We'll find it does make a difference how we live. Paul writes to the church. Now remember, we started this months ago, but when he writes to the church, he writes for three reasons to this group of believers. Number one, he writes to correct their errors, because they've got all kind of sin. They've got all kind of things going on in the body that's got to be dealt with. He also writes to answer questions, because they had written him a letter, and they ask him certain questions, and he writes, giving them answers. And then the third, that he writes to teach them biblical truths that deal with the idea of worship and resurrection and all those kind of things. He wants them to understand it. Now, there's a lot in this letter, but that we, as some people want to call us, the modern church, that can help us, because just about every problem that we could have, they already had, and he dealt with it. So we could look at it and say, what can we learn from the Corinthian church? Now, this evening, the focus is on rewards and service. So as we look at the passage, there are really some things I want you to see. First of all, we're going to look at chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. In that, there are four things we're going to find. He's going to talk about the foundation for rewards, and we'll talk about that. He talks about the material, the test, and the results. So that's the outline for tonight. And so in our passage, we're going to start at verse 10, of course, and go through verse 15, see how this fits together. Now, as we look carefully at this passage, we see that it does make a difference on how you live. And there's so much in this passage. Now, he touched on this whole idea earlier about rewards. Look back at verse 8 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Notice he says, now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, that's a very biblical, practical truth, that every one of us will be rewarded based on our labor and our service. So how you lived for Jesus Christ, how you served him, you will be rewarded. And it's not based on what God has for you to do. In other words, he may have somebody, and they may be famous and go all over the world, and he may have you that you're not famous or something, you do something else. You're going to be judged on how you did what he gave you to do. That's why it goes back to faithfulness. So notice how he says it, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, as I mentioned a while ago, verses 10 through 15 deal with that. And let me give you the four things. That's the next slide, is these same four things. What we're going to see as we go through it, the foundation. What is the foundation? What are the materials? What is the test? And what is the results? Now, as we go through this, I want you to think about your life for a minute and say, okay, here I am, wherever you are, whether you're young, whether you're older, you may say, I'm living my life right now. If it were over and I stood before Jesus Christ right now, it has no bearing on your eternal destiny, but it has bearing on how you lived. What would it be like tonight if you stood before Jesus Christ? Would he say, well done? When your works are tested, and we're going to see it in just a minute as we read the passage, would there be rewards for you? And if you say, it doesn't really matter, so if you get rewards or not, I mean, we're all going to heaven, and then isn't that all that really counts, is that we're all going to heaven? Well, the truth is, we are going to heaven. All of us who believe in Jesus Christ are going to heaven, but it does matter. Because not only into what we call the thousand-year reign of Christ, which we just call the millennial kingdom, but even the eternal kingdom in which we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ, our ruling and reigning and positions of responsibility and service and close connection with Christ will be based on how you served Him now. Now that's why it makes a difference. And see, this little dot of time now, and for all eternity, what you're doing right here now is going to have a bearing on how you'll serve and what you'll be and what you'll be doing for all eternity. So it does make a difference. Well, let's start. He starts with the foundation. Okay, look at verse 10. He says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another's building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. He starts off and says there's a foundation. He's talking about his ministry. When he talks about I laid this foundation, he's talking about the ministry that he did at Corinth and how he came. And he notice how he says it, according to the grace of God which was given to me. He saw that it was God's grace that he was allowed to be a servant of God, that he was used by God to touch people's lives. Have you ever thought about it that way? That when God allows you to touch people's lives, that that's the grace of God, that he let you do that? He don't have to let you do anything. He didn't let you ever have to help anybody. I mean, sometimes we gripe and are angry or we're bothered because people bother us and people need help and people want this. And you say, well, I'm too busy. Well, think about it, that it's the grace of God. You get to serve him. And that's what he says. He says, according to the grace of God which was given to me. He says, God's grace, I get to do this. Well, what is that? Because he already talked about that he got to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Back in verse 5, he says, what is Apollos and what is Paul? We're just servants. And that's the grace of God that we get to be servants. Watch what he says. According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. Now we're going to see that the foundation is the ministry that God has let him do. And primarily he's dealing with the ministry in Corinth. Now he's got ministries all over the place, but since he's writing to them, that's what he's talking about. But he uses the term master builder. The Greek word is architekon. What word do you think we get from it? Architect. And when we think of an architect, we think the guy who draws the drawings and says, here, build this building. The Greek word architekon didn't mean just the guy who designed it. It was the guy who got his hands, he designed it and built it. And so Paul is saying, according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, like an architekon, I got to do this. I laid a foundation. You know, this whole ministry is in this thing is called like a building or a foundation. And you think about it, the believers and ministries are called a lot of things in the Bible. We're called the vines and we're the branches and he's the vine and Jesus is the head and we're the body and he's the foundation and we're the building and he's the groom and we're the bride and we're the field and he's causing the increase. Well, in this one, he's just saying, I was this wise master builder and I got to build the foundation. So like this skilled craftsman, he says, by the grace of God, I got to serve him. I got to be used by him. I got to do this. Do you think that getting to serve God is by grace? Do you look at it that way and say, I get to? I mean, did you wake up in the morning and say, oh, Lord, please use me. In your grace, will you use me today? I guarantee you, if you wake up in the morning and you say, please use me, guess what he'll do? He'll use you. If you say, wake up in the morning and say, oh, Lord, please let me have an opportunity to share my faith. Guess what? You better be ready because there are going to be times he's going to bring people into your life. And when you say, oh, Lord, I just want my life to count for you, be ready because he's going to take your life and use it for his glory. And Paul says, it's the grace of God I got to do that. And he says, I'm this master builder. I'm the architect on. I get to put it together. I laid a foundation. He said, now another's building on it, but each man must be very careful on how you build on it. And of course, when he talks about others building on it, he's probably talking about Apollos and Peter and all the others who have been involved in the ministry as well. He says, be careful. Ministry is to be done in such a way that there is growth. That's why he says each man must be careful on how he builds on it. Now, here's the question. What exactly is this foundation? This foundation of ministry? Because he's talking about ministry. Well, the answer is in the next verse. Look what it says. For no other man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation for all ministry is Jesus Christ. If a church decides we're going to have this ministry and this ministry, we're going to have this and this and this and this, if the whole issue isn't Jesus, they're wasting their time. The foundation for all ministry is Jesus Christ. The only reason we exist is Jesus Christ. This is the church of Christ. He's the head. We're the body. The church is the body of Christ. We represent Him. When we come together, we're coming together to worship who? Jesus Christ. We're coming together to study the Word of God, which He gave to us through the apostles, which is the Word, the living Word and the written Word. We got it all. So the foundation is Jesus Christ. Notice He says, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. Peter calls Him the cornerstone. In Ephesians 2:20, he says, there is the foundation, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone. Now, you know, the cornerstone was the most important rock in the foundation. In fact, in the whole building. And Jesus Christ is called the cornerstone in a couple of places in the Bible. It's like He's the most important rock and He's all put together. There's some other places He's actually called the rock. The key to all ministry that we do is Christ. Listen, if you're going to be teaching the Bible, why are we teaching the Bible? So that people can know and understand more about Christ, so they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. If you're going to share your faith, what are you sharing your faith for? So that people can know Jesus Christ as Savior, regardless of whatever ministry you could ever think of, whatever, why church exists, why we do the music, why do we do those songs? Whose name are we lifting up? Who are we singing to? Who are we singing about? Jesus Christ. Everything that we do goes back to Him. Sometimes you can go to services and you can go and Christ, Bible, God is hardly even mentioned. I remember sometimes when I do premarital counseling, I'll ask a couple, I'll say, what do you look for in a church? Because that's one of my questions, because we're talking about how they're going to worship, where they're going to go. Sometimes they'll say, oh, we're looking for friendly people. I said, really, that could be a cult. I said, if your basis of looking for a church is friendly people, that could be a cult. They're pretty friendly. They're trying to get you in the group. What do you look for? You look for a place that has the foundation of Jesus Christ, the teaching of the Word of God, a clear grace message of our Savior. So Paul says, listen, by the grace of God, I got to be the master builder. I laid the foundation. Now it's being built up on it. Nobody can lay a foundation other than one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You think about it. Every aspect goes back to Christ. All our salvation based on Him, the Christian life, is apart from Him. We can do nothing in the future. He's the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Savior. Everything built around Him. So number one, the first thing that we see in this passage is the foundation. Now, the second thing is, and it's the material. What are they building? What are you building on this thing? Look what he says, verse 12. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw. Now, he lists six things. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw. You find that these materials, they're really representing the work, the ministry, the service. Some are valuable and some are not so valuable. Some are permanent and lasting. Some are temporary, not lasting. Some are a picture. The gold, silver, precious stone are a picture of things that are eternal, that are done, and we'd say it this way, done in God's power, done for God's glory. And the things like the wood, the hay, and the straw, they are not lasting. And some would say that they're probably things done in the flesh or not things done for the glory of God. When you stand before Jesus Christ, and we're going to see it in a minute, you have been building on the foundation of Christ, because when you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, that's the foundation of your life and the foundation of all ministries. And you've been building on that ministry, or you've been building on that foundation. And so the question is, what have you been building up there? I've heard sort of a joke one time about the person that when God showed him a picture of what they'd be built, it was like a little chicken coop, but it was built on this huge foundation. And they said, what had happened to there? I said, well, you got the foundation of Christ, but you didn't put much on it. And it could be, when we stand before Christ, what have we been building on the foundation of Jesus Christ? And he's using this analogy that one day you're going to stand before Christ, and what you built, how you used the gifts, talents, and abilities and all that, is that's your building, that's your gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw. So some permanent, some not permanent. Some lasting, some not lasting. Some it's picturing the glory of God and done in His power, and others done that's not lasting. Some will last and some won't. And this is the materials. So the question is, what are you building upon your foundation? Now, there's the third part. We saw that he says there's a foundation. That's Jesus Christ. The materials are good, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw. That takes us to the third thing, and that's the test. They're going to be tested. your ministry, your service for Jesus Christ will be tested. Notice what he says. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Now, when you go to see Jesus, when you're standing before him, you're not going to take your buddy. Could you do us both at the same time? No. Would you, one of you, step out? Because it's just me and you. And that's what it's going to be. Each person's work. Notice, each man's work will become evident. The word evident means very clear. It's going to be clearly seen on what we did with what God gave us to do. That's why when we think it's not a big deal, it's not a big deal, You don't have to do anything. It doesn't matter whether you go to church, it doesn't matter whether you serve. I mean, you go into heaven. I mean, how many times you've heard people say, you don't even have to go to church. Well, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to do anything. Has no bearing on your salvation. It all has bearing on your rewards. It all has bearing on your service for Jesus Christ and your eternal service for Christ. Not your eternal destiny. Your destiny is set by faith in Christ. So when people give us stuff like, oh, you don't have to go to church. No, you don't. Doesn't make any difference. It makes a difference. It makes a big difference. Each man's work will become evident. It will be very clear. There will be a time in which believers will be rewarded. It goes on to say, for the day will show it. What day? There's going to come a time, and he calls it the day, a day in which you stand before Jesus Christ. We call that the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to just hold your place in 1 Corinthians, turn over to 2 Corinthians, because this is a famous passage. Most of us know it, but turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 10, where Paul again talks about it, but he gives you more details. Instead of just saying the day will show it, he actually tells you what it's called and what happens. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 10. Now, the thing about this, which makes it, we're just not looking at the Bible and saying, this is a good verse. We're saying these are true things that one day you will experience. You have the foundation. You are building on that foundation now. There will come a time on that day that you will stand before Jesus Christ. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And the word bad there means worthless. And we'll talk about it in more detail in just a second. We'll look at the verse. But notice what he says. We all must appear. That means each one of us. Before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, a lot of times, and you've heard me teach this many times, so this is not new to most people, but when you see the word judgment, it sounds bad. Like, oh, he's going to judge me, and I'm going to be, you know, he may kick me out. No, this has nothing to do with eternal destiny. The word judgment is bema, B-E-M-A in the Greek, and it means a reward stand. This is your reward stand. For we must all stand before the bema seat of Christ, the rewarding seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed. The word recompense means to be given back. He's going to give back to us for what? For the deeds in the body, according to what we have done, whether it is good or, and the word bad there is a word that means worthless. It's the word for rotten fruit. It's the word for something you'd go, oh, I don't want that. I'm sorry. That's worthless. And so he's saying that, you know, there's gold, silver, precious stone. That's good. And there's wood, hay, and straw. That's worthless. It's not going to last. Because see, it's going to be tested. And what lasts is good, and what doesn't last is worthless. And so he says, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the rewarding seat of Christ, that we'd be given back, we'd be recompensed for the deeds, things we've done in this body, according to whether they're good or worthless. I quoted the verse earlier, Romans 14, as I live, said the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall give praise to God. Therefore, each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. So how you build on that foundation? One day, you'll stand before Jesus Christ. And it's a good day in the sense that he's sitting on the reward stand. And you're coming up. And this is not a bad day. It's supposed to be a good day. Now, in 1 John, there's a passage that says that we want to live for Jesus Christ so that we will not be ashamed at his coming. Because let's face it, if you know you're not serving him and you haven't served him, and when you go up there to get rewards, you'll kind of be ashamed when he goes, thanks for coming. You know, there's no rewards. You'll be ashamed. This is supposed to be a good day. It's supposed to be the day you go up and you're going, all right, thank you. And this is a happy day. If you've seen Chronicles of Narnia, you remember right at the end, and the four children come up, and they're all crowned as king and queen of Narnia, and they're all sitting there, and they're getting the crowns, and everybody's happy and cheering. That's what it's going to be like. You're going to be there going, for me? This is for me? Yeah, well done. Good and faithful servant. And you're going to be going, this is unbelievable. This is so great. I can't believe you gave this to me. You did it all anyway. You just used me. See, the truth is, what are you going to do for him? He does it all through you. You can't do anything apart from him. You can do all things through him. So when you serve him, it's him doing it anyway. He's going to reward you for him using you. So it's such a great time. How did you build upon it? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for just a second. We'll look at this because he's going to tell us how it's going to be tested. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. Now, this is, first of all, two things there. The word revealed is exactly the same word, apokalupa, from Greek, from the book of Revelation, which means an unveiling, a disclosing. He's going to show you, he's going to show, and then it's going to be revealed through this fire. Now, whether it's a real fire, and whether there's something that looks like gold, silver, and precious stone, and wood, hay, and straw, or whether he's using an analogy to say that just like fire, when it goes to gold, silver, and precious stone, they're still there when they get through with the fire, or it's just like wood, hay, and straw, when they get through with the fire, they're gone. His analogy is there are going to be some things that remain. You'll be rewarded for that. There are some things that are gone. You will not be rewarded for that. The best that we can tell is when you serve God in the power of the Holy Spirit, based on the Word of God, living and serving for Him, that's gold, silver, and precious stone. That's something that's eternal and that will last. But if you do things in the power of the flesh, if you don't live by the Word of God, if you don't serve Him, if you just go through life, that's wood, hay, straw. That's the best we can tell. He says, each man's work will be evident, for that day will reveal it, because it will be revealed by fire. And fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. So it's going to test it. Fire is going to test it. Well, you put fire on gold, silver, precious stone, what do you got? Gold, silver, precious stone. You put fire on wood, hay, straw, what do you got? You got nothing. And so he's saying it's going to test it. Well, we've seen the foundation, Jesus Christ. We've seen the material, some last, some not. We've seen the test is that the judgment seat of Christ and its fire. And the last but not least is the results. And he tells us very plainly, verse 14, if any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. How much clearer can that be? People say, I don't know if you get rewards or not. You know, there's a whole group of people that teach that there aren't rewards in heaven, that the reward for heaven is eternal life, that you have to serve God and you get to go to heaven. That's, by the way, works for salvation. The rewards are your service for Christ. Salvation is not a reward. It's a gift. He says, if any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. And then he says, If any man's work is burned up, if it's gone, he'll suffer loss. Loss of what? Reward. See, I've had people look at this and say, so you lose your salvation. I said, it doesn't say loss of salvation. It says loss of rewards. In fact, finish the verse, but he himself will be what? Saved, yet it's through fire. I mean, it's going to go, and you go, well, thanks for coming. Okay, but I'm going on in. Yeah, you're going on in. You know? And you know, it's sort of funny, but it's not really funny at all. Because that's not for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, it's for the whole rest of eternity. And when the metakoi, as we saw in the book of Hebrews, are those who are in close partnership with Christ, those are the ones who served Him and lived for Him and have a close relationship with Him throughout the kingdom and through eternity. When they're all over there having a party and you're back over there going, well, I'm in heaven, but you know, I'm not close. Why weren't you close? Because I didn't serve Him. Won't be funny then. See, the truth is, he's trying to tell us in these places, in 1 Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians, and in Romans, and in all these places where he mentions crowns, and when he talks about the eternal kingdom, and we will serve him forever, when he talks about well done, good, he's trying to tell you that what you do in this life has eternal results. But we're so caught up in the world, we can't even see it. We're so thinking about the temporal things, we miss the eternal. And we need to focus on the eternal things. If any man's work is burned up, well, he's going to suffer loss. He'll be ashamed too. But he himself will be saved. Yet it's through the fire. See, these rewards have nothing to do with salvation. Salvation's the gift. The rewards are based on service. So as a believer, you have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. What will it be like when you stand before the rewarding stand? Well, what you have built on the foundation of Christ, will it be gold, silver, precious stone? And will it last? And will he say, well done? And will you be rewarded? And you'll go, this is great. Or will what you have built on, which is on the foundation of Christ, will it be wood, hay, straw? And will it be burned up? And you will suffer loss? And you will be ashamed at his coming? What's it going to be like? What do you want it to be like? The one that decides what it's going to be like is you. You decide if you're going to live for him or not. You decide when you wake up in the morning if you're going to say, Lord, I want my life to count for you, and you want to study the Bible and know the Word and be ready to share your faith and be ready to give an answer for everyone that hopes within you and make disciples and do all the things you're supposed to do. You decide whether you're going to do that or not. You decide. My hope and prayer for myself and for you is that we're going to say, Lord, I want my life to count for you. We're going to get to this later, but you don't have to turn there, but just listen to this. This is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. It says, don't you know that all those who run in a race, they all run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way that you may win. Now, in a regular race, only one guy gets the prize, but in the Christian life race, everybody can get the prize. The prize is based on you. He says, I run in such a way, not without name, without aim. I discipline my body. I make it my slave. He's saying, I'm doing what it's going to take to live for Jesus Christ so that I can get the rewards. We have seen the foundation is Christ. The material can either be lasting or temporary. We've seen that the fire is going to test it. It's at the judgment seat of Christ. And the results will be the reward or loss of reward. Now, the Bible, people talk about what are these rewards and what are these things. Sometimes the Bible uses the term crowns, rewards. We don't really know. If you're asking me, the best that I can tell is it seems to me that the rewards are going to be places of service in the kingdom and in the eternal kingdom for all time. That's the best I can tell. But the Bible uses this. I've got this up here. There are four crowns in the Bible. I did a whole study of this in Sunday school one time. We're not going into detail. But there's a crown. There's a thing called the crown of joy, which it seems to be from 1 Thessalonians. It's a reward that you get when you share your faith. There is a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy. It seems to be, best I can tell from 2 Timothy, it's a crown of rewards that you get when you live righteously and faithfully on this earth. There is the crown of life, which is a reward for trusting God in the trials of life, because sometimes there are trials that come in your life and you trust him, he'll reward you. And there's a thing called the crown of glory, 1 Peter 5, which seems to be a reward for shepherding and serving and helping other people. Now, when you think of shepherding, you automatically think of the pastor or somebody in that role. Any of us can shepherd one another and be there for one another. And I think that's where some of the rewards come in. There are other things. And, you know, he doesn't tell us all of this. He does use those parables where he'll say, well done, inherit these cities or inherit this that is for you. And so it seems to be that there has to be some kind of place of responsibility or something as we are rewarded. What will you have at the judgment seat of Christ? Our goal is to serve in God's power using the gifts, talents, and abilities he's given us for the glory of God, so that when we stand before him, he will reward us and he will say, well done. So what have we seen? We've seen rewards, the foundation, the materials, the test, and the fire. Let me give you the application. The application is live in such a way as to gain rewards from God. That's the plan. We want to hear him say, well done. It all begins with the proper foundation. What's the foundation? Jesus Christ. You trust Jesus Christ as Savior, and then you begin to build on that. You got the great foundation, and the focus is Jesus Christ in everything we do. You know, here's something that sounds strange, but you don't represent Countryside Baptist Church. You don't even represent yourself. You represent Jesus Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're not an ambassador. He didn't say be an ambassador for Countryside. He said, be my witnesses. Be an ambassador for Christ. That's if the foundation is Jesus. Second, B, build with the eternal materials. The eternal materials, the things that last. Invest your life and your service to gain eternal rewards. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is what? It's not in vain. He's going to reward you when you serve him. So do it. One day you'll be tested. You'll stand before Jesus, and may we hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you, Lord, for this passage as Paul was teaching to the Corinthians about rewards and about the master builder and the foundation and all of that. So, Lord, we thank you that you've left us on this earth to be your representatives. We want to live in such a way that we'll gain rewards from you, that we'll hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Thank you, Lord. We have the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we pray that every aspect of our life, we build it on that foundation. And, Lord, we pray that we'll build with the eternal things and not the temporary things, that we'll live in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God, and our lives will count for you. And so when that day comes that we stand before you, we'll hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we hope, Lord. We pray for that. We seek to live for you and to make an impact for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.